welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, a mystery. Later on, a great story in 1953's Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. But right now, it's an episode of Boston Blackie, starring Richard Colmar from the Mutual Network, heard on May 2nd, 1945.
In a park, Shorty. Penguins?
Well, these love boys can't fly, boss.
Neither can penguins.
Gee, Blackie, I didn't know there was a lake down this part of the park.
Well, Shorty, we've never taken this path to Mary's before.
Huh? What do we do from here, swim?
No, we take this footbridge.
Ah, gee. It sure is a plenty cute lake for such a little one, isn't it?
Well, stay away from that bridge railing. You'll be telling me it's a plenty wet lake for such a little one.
Hey, boss.
Now what?
Look. Line in the water there. I'd put ashore.
Uh-oh.
Well, is it?
It sure is.
Is it dead?
If it isn't, it's awful careless. Come on, let's have a look.
Gee, boss, is he dead?
You used the wrong pronoun, short one. When a he is dead, he's an it.
It's an it?
By virtue of a slight case of no breathing. Light a match, will you?
Oh, sure. Then we better call a cop, huh?
Are you kidding? All I have to do is pronounce the word body and Inspector Faraday dusts out a cell all for me.
Gee, what do you know? Face down in the water with his feet on the shore. A plain case of suicide, boss. It'll be okay to call a cop.
It'll be murder to call a cop, Shorty. Because that's what this is.
This guy didn't bump himself?
Not unless he rode here on the back of a duck. Look at his shoes.
Kind of neat looking.
And he pulled a neat trick, getting here without walking on them.
Matches don't burn well. What do you mean by that, boss?
He's wearing brand new shoes, Shorty, never walked on. And it's a plenty long hike from here to the edge of the park.
Gee, and I said let's call a cop.
Come on, let's get out of here.
Yeah, sure, boss.
Hey, you two. What's going on down there?
Hey, boss, it's a cop.
What's that lying in the water? A body?
Uh-oh, Shorty. Here we go again.
All right, Blanky. Come on in. I want to talk to you.
Well, look what invites me into the morgue. A body that walks and talks. Inspector Faraday.
Blanky, some of these days you're going to underestimate me and be sorry.
Don't tell me this case is closed already.
Maybe I look dumb, Blackie, but I'm not. We police see things that other people don't.
Oh?
I'll let you know a little secret, chum. This isn't suicide, it's murder.
Murder?
Surprised, huh?
Plenty. What makes you think it's murder?
I don't think, I know. What a clever stunt this was. Would have gotten by somebody like you, but not me. I saw it the minute they brought the body in. And you, the great Boston Blackie, you thought it was suicide.
Well, I'm certainly surprised.
I thought you would be, pal.
I didn't think you'd notice the shoes.
Well, when you know you mean you... Why, you double-crosser, you knew it all the time.
That's why I hung around. I thought you'd never notice it. Only a dope would fail to see no more than 10 steps have been taken in those shoes.
I ought to throw you in jail.
Don't choke yourself with jealousy, pal. This murdered guy, Walters, could have taken a cab to within 20 feet of the lake.
I'm way ahead of you again, Blackie. I checked with every cab company in town. He didn't take a taxi.
It's murder, all right. And I know how it was done.
You'd speculate on anything, wouldn't you?
It's as simple as a nursery rhyme, my dear fellow. He was picked up outside his apartment house, driven to the lake by his killer, hit over the head, and tossed into the lake.
I'll buy that. But you'll have to give me a cut rate.
I know it's not worth much until we have a suspect with a motive.
I've got a suspect with plenty of motive. The guy's wife. She didn't even break up when she identified the body. And guess where she says she was at the time Walters died? At a movie, alone.
What did Mrs. Walters say when you told her it was murder?
I didn't tell her. I've got Mrs. Walters tagged as a possible suspect. She admits she and her husband never got along. If she thinks I'm convinced it's suicide, she'll drop her guard. I'm even releasing a suicide story to the paper.
Faraday, you astound me.
Really? Okay, Blackie. You knew this was murder from the start. So maybe you know a whole lot more.
Put that gun away, Faraday. Don't you know it's impolite to point?
You found the body, Blanky. So I'm holding you as a material witness and locking you up till I've got my case against Mrs. Walters.
Faraday, please, please, the gun, you know.
I know, and it stays in my hand. Now, if you've finished pouring over Walter's shoe, come on. Leave the shoe here.
Where do you want me to put it?
On this table right here.
Take hold of size 11, my toe. That's surprising how heavy a shoe can be.
Put the shoe down, will you, and come on.
Sure, I'll put it down right on your hand.
Oh, my, you...
Leave your gun on the floor, Faraday, or I'll have to use mine on you.
So help me, Blackie. You run out on this, and I'll throw the book at you.
How far can you throw a book, Faraday? I'm going a long way.
You won't get far. Every cop on the force will guarantee that personally.
When you can get another key made for this door, Faraday, maybe someone on the force will let you out. Hey, officer.
Yes? What is it?
Yeah, if you can get into the morgue, you'd better have a look around.
What for?
There's a brand new body in there, but it's dead only from the neck up. John Waters?
Yes?
I'm from the police department. May I come in?
Oh, yes, of course.
Thanks.
Are you from Inspector Faraday?
Straight from him. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
I see.
Your late husband carried life insurance?
Doesn't almost everybody?
That doesn't answer my question.
Yes.
That does. For how much?
I don't know.
For how much?
Enough. Is that all?
No. May I see the policy?
I don't have it.
Where is it?
I'm not sure. In my husband's safety deposit box, I suppose.
You the sole beneficiary?
I suppose I am. I never asked my husband.
Do you suppose everything? What company did your husband carry his insurance with? Or do you just suppose it was some company?
No, it's the New Northern Life, I think.
Oh, first you suppose, now you think. Well, that's a big improvement.
Look here, I don't think you're from the police at all.
Some cops still have arches, Mrs. Walters.
You're not from the police. Who are you?
I'm asking the questions, Mrs. Walters.
Well, I'm going to call Inspector Faraday.
Your husband's policy is with the New Northern Life, huh? Now, can you remember for how much?
I'm not answering any more questions.
Police Department.
Inspector Faraday, please.
Yes, ma'am. Faraday speaking.
Inspector, this is Sarah Walters.
Oh, yeah?
Did you send a man from your department to talk to me?
I did not.
Well, there's a man here now who claims that he came from your office.
Put him on the phone.
Of course. Inspector Faraday wants to talk to you. Here.
Thank you.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, sweetheart. How does it feel to be out of the morgue again?
Frankie, I might have known it was you.
I know. You're going to send up a squad car and then pick me up.
You better behave yourself. You're getting in this deeper every minute.
I don't know what I'm getting into, Inspector, but I do know I'm getting out of here, so don't bother to send for me. Goodbye.
Blanky, so help me when I...
Sorry to be leaving, Mrs. Walters, but this place is going to be full of cops in a few minutes, and I hate crowds.
Who are you, anyway?
The name's Blackie.
Boston Blackie?
That's right.
Then you're the one who found my husband's body.
And that isn't all I found, Mrs. Walters. And if Faraday doesn't see me first, I'll see you again.
Jenkins' law office. Jenkins speaking.
Tom, this is Sarah.
Oh, hello.
Tom, John's dead.
What?
He was found in the lake in the park this evening.
Oh, Sarah, I'm so sorry. How did it happen?
He killed himself.
Is there anything I can do?
I don't know. I'm worried.
Worried?
Tom, I have a hunch the police suspect it's murder.
Murder? What makes you think so?
A man by the name of Boston Blackie was here asking terrible questions. Tom, what can I do?
What do you mean?
If it's murder, I'm afraid.
Why? Do you have anything to hide?
No.
Then what are you worried about?
I'm just worried.
Well, stop it. Who did you say was up there questioning you?
Boston Blackie.
Boston Blackie? Well, forget about him. Get him off your mind.
I wish somebody would get him off this case.
I I know you're the beauty of the new Northern Life Insurance Company, baby, but are you the brains, too?
That depends on what you want to know.
Well, you see, I carry a life insurance policy with your company. My name's John Walters.
Yeah?
I've forgotten the name of the man who sold me the policy. You could give it to me, couldn't you?
Well, not from memory, but I should have it in my file.
I think I should have you in my file.
Is there room?
Sure. You probably have a very small name.
What was your name again?
It's still John Walters.
Walters, John. Here we are.
The salesman's name?
Here it is, Fred Singer.
I'd like to talk to him.
Oh, that door right there. Just knock.
Thanks. And, who got me this information?
Mr. Singer will be glad to do anything he can for you.
I'll be back.
Come in.
Fred Singer?
That's right.
I'd like to ask you a few questions.
I don't think I've had...
My name's Blackie, Boston Blackie.
Oh.
You sold an insurance policy to John Walters, didn't you?
That's right.
When?
I'm afraid you'd better explain your reasons for these questions.
John Walters is dead.
What did you say?
When did you sell him this policy?
A month ago.
For how much?
$50,000.
Who's the beneficiary?
His wife.
How well did you know Mrs. Walters?
I've never met her.
Oh.
This is certainly a shock about Walters. How did he die?
He was murdered.
Oh, the police know who killed him?
Well, I'll give you a hint. If the police can prove their case, they'll save your company $50,000.
Look, Blackie, when we get upstairs to your place, let's stay there, huh? We're not in this mess. It's got nothing to do with us.
Faraday's figuring Mrs. Walters killed her husband, but I don't know, somehow I don't like that.
Huh? Would you like it better if Faraday pinned it on you?
Well, it'd be a lot more natural.
What do we do now?
You're going to shadow Mrs. Walters. I've got a hunch if we watch her movements, she'll either prove Faraday is right or clear herself.
Okay, boss. You're the boss, but I... Hey, Blackie, I don't like the looks of this car coming up the street.
Uh-oh.
Boss, I got a funny feeling.
In the building, Shorty, quick.
Yeah. We ain't gonna make it, boss.
We better.
Hey, boss. Blackie! Hey, Blackie!
Though he's being sought by Inspector Faraday as a material witness in the murder of John Walters... Boston Blackie has managed to interview Mrs. Walters, Faraday's chief suspect, Fred Singer, who sold the insurance policy to the dead man, and get himself shot at by an unknown assailant. As we return to our story, Blackie is still avoiding Faraday and is at the apartment of Mary Wesley, where the young nurse is dressing his bullet wound.
This'll hurt a little, Blackie.
You know you're supposed to report this to the police, don't you?
Yes.
It's the law.
Yes, I know. Was Shorty hurt, too?
No, not a scratch. Ouch!
Sorry. What kind of trouble are you in this time?
Up until this bullet autographed my arm, I wasn't in any trouble, I thought.
Now we're both in trouble.
Oh, don't worry, honey. I'll report this to Faraday myself.
Right.
Shall I answer?
It's probably for you.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Blackie. Blackie, it is Shorty here.
Are you still trailing Mrs. Walters?
Boss, I'm shagging after that dame like she owed me the last $10 bill in town. Hey, you know something, boss?
As much as my IQ will allow.
I don't know nothing from IQs, but I know I've seen this Walters dame somewhere before.
Now, don't tell me she's a waterfront mall in Park Avenue clothing.
I don't know about that. I just know that I've seen her before.
Well, don't lose her. Where is she now?
Well, I'll tell you. First she went into the bank, boss, and then she went into an apartment building across the street from here, see?
Do you know what apartment?
Yeah, a guy named Singer.
Fred Singer?
Yeah. Hey, boss, how did you know that?
Never mind that. Singer told me he didn't even know Mrs. Walters. Where are you now?
In a drugstore at the corner 86th Street in Elmhurst.
I'll be right up.
Well, you better step on it, boss. The Dame went into that building like she was in a hurry.
I have a hunch she's not only in a hurry, short one. I think the lady's also in a jam. Hello, singer.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, thanks for the pleasant welcome. Well, hello, Mrs. Walters.
Again?
Well, this is all very cozy. Two people who don't even know each other.
Of course we know each other, and we have for years. You don't think we'd be foolish enough to tell you or the police?
You were foolish enough to let my man trail Mrs. Walters to your apartment. Now, what goes?
I don't think we have to answer your questions. You're not from the police.
Well, maybe you'd rather answer their questions.
What do you want?
Let's see that insurance policy.
What insurance policy?
The one you sold John Walters.
Don't be a fool. What would it be doing here?
You brought it here, Mrs. Walters.
I did not.
You didn't stop in at the bank on your way here to get change for a dollar. Oh, no. Let's see the policy.
All right. Let him see it, then.
Dear, huh? Oh, this is cozy. The policy, Mrs. Walters.
I'm getting it out of my purse now.
Be sure it doesn't come out with bullets in it.
Here it is.
Thanks.
I don't see what you intend to accomplish with all this prying.
For one thing, I intend to find out who hit John Walters on the head so I can get Faraday off my neck. Let's have that policy.
You can see I wasn't lying. It was signed a month ago, and it's for $50,000, just as I said.
Mind if I use your phone?
Go ahead. If you want anything on that policy,
it explains itself.
Who are you calling?
Inspector Faraday. To turn you two in for the murder of John Walters.
What? You out of your mind?
Don't move, either one of you. I've got a good gun and better aim.
Faraday speaking.
Hello, Faraday. This is Blackie.
Okay, Blackie. This has gone far enough. I'm issuing a warrant for your arrest. You...
Look, chum. Don't make any more mistakes than you've already made, or I'll make you solve this case by yourself.
Oh, yeah?
You want Mrs. Walters and the man who sold John Walters his insurance.
I was just checking into the insurance angle on this thing.
Well, I've checked for you, sweetheart. Here's the dope. It's as pat as the pan on your face there. Mrs. Walters wanted a divorce. Singer wanted Mrs. Walters. The only thing that stood in the way was Mr. Walters.
That's an old one, the love angle.
Yes, but love wasn't enough this time. Money was interesting, too. So, Singer sold Walters a policy for $50,000 payable to Mrs. Walters.
I get it. Then the two of them knocked off Mr. Walters so they could get married and live happily ever after. Or until the $50,000 ran out.
You see, Faraday, it's so simple, even you can manage to figure it out. And they both happen to be right here in Singer's apartment. Number 2A, northwest corner of 86th and Elmhurst Avenue.
Okay, I'll be right up from... But you stay there, too, Blackie. You're not out of this yet.
Sorry, pal. I can't wait. I've got work to do. But Shorty will hold him for you.
Look, you're way off the beam.
You better sit down, Singer, and you too, Mrs. Walters. Faraday won't be here to pick you up for 10 minutes. Hey, Shorty.
Yeah, boss?
Come on up quick. Use the stairs. They're faster.
Right away, boss.
Well, I guess about all you two need now is a lawyer.
I'd like to call mine now, if you don't mind.
I do mind.
Oh, Fred, what are we going to do?
Just sit tight, I guess. That's all we can do for the moment.
That's what Tom told me to do, too, and look what's happened.
Who's Tom?
My lawyer. Please let me call him.
Seems to me you've already called him.
I did, after you came to see me this afternoon.
What's his name?
Tom Jenkins.
Here I am, boss.
Okay, Shorty. Just keep an eye on these two lovebirds till the police come and put them into their cages.
Hey, gee, boss, now I know.
Now you know what?
Now I know where I seen his name. It was in a police lineup in Los Angeles when I was picked up on a phony charge.
Why, you're crazy.
Well, this gets more interesting every minute.
I even remember what you was up for, boss. It was robbery. And her name was Sarah Walsh.
That's not true.
This could go on forever. See that these two don't run out before the cops get here, Shorty.
Right.
I'm going to run down Mrs. Walters' lawyer.
Yes, I've been Mrs. Walters' lawyer for many years.
But you never knew Mr. Walters?
No, I didn't. They didn't get along too well, you know. I was Mrs. Walters' attorney.
Nice place you have here.
I like it.
I was in a lawyer's office just the other afternoon. He had the same kind of paneling.
Really? Well, I'm very busy, Blackie. A lot of work to do, so if you just tell me why you came down
Jenkins,
here...
Tom Jenkins, let me see. Are you by any chance related to the Alfred Jenkins on the east side?
No, I'm not. Now, look here. Excuse me. Hello?
Is Boston Blackie there?
Why, yes. In just a minute. It's for you.
Oh, thanks. Hello?
Blackie?
Yes, Mary?
I called Los Angeles just as you told me to.
Well, what'd you find out?
Is it all right to talk?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Nobody can hear you.
Well, you were right. A Sarah Walsh was sent to a California prison for 3 years for robbery.
Uh-huh.
She later changed her name to Sarah Burroughs. And she came east where she married John Walters.
Swell. Anything else?
Yes. I asked about the name of her attorney on that case. It was a man by the name of Tom Jenkins. He was disbarred several years later for malpractice.
Mary, you're the most wonderful girl in the world.
Yes, I know. On a telephone.
I'll talk to you in person in the best restaurant in town at 8 o'clock tonight. I'll call for you at 7.
Well, I won't wait a minute after 9.
Good girl. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, can we get down to business, or may I go to work?
Sorry to hold you up, Jenkins. Gee, I'm really sorry. One more phone call, and then we can talk.
Go ahead.
Faraday speaking.
Hello, Faraday. This is Blackie.
Hello, Blackie. Say, I guess I really have to thank you this time.
What for, pal?
I believe in being fair. Thanks to you, I've got Mrs. Walters and Fred Singer on the lock and key, and the whole case sewed up in a sack.
Faraday, you haven't got anything.
Are you crazy?
Read that insurance policy.
What for?
Look, Walters' death was supposed to look like suicide, wasn't it?
Any fool could have told that.
Then only a fool would have wanted Walter's death to look like suicide. If he knew what was in that insurance policy, and both Mrs. Walters and Singer knew it.
Knew what?
That a suicide clause voided the policy in the event Walter killed himself inside of 2 years. And that policy was only 1 month old.
Well, I'll be a...
Inspector, mustn't brag.
You made a fool out of me, Blackie.
Relax, Inspector. I thought Singer and Mrs. Walters were the ones we wanted, too, until I read the policy carefully. But now I've got your real killer for you.
Where?
Right here. Room 1051 in the City Building. His name is Tom Jenkins.
Put down that receiver, Blackie.
Afraid I'll have to put an end to this little conversation, Inspector.
I heard what he said. I'll have a squad up there in 5 minutes.
For the last time, put that receiver down.
With pleasure. It was getting sort of heavy anyhow.
Very clever.
Oh, not very.
For that very lovely shot in the dark, you're going to get a shot in the back.
Oh, I don't think so.
This gun in my hand wasn't filled at a water fountain.
Oh, I was referring to what you called my shot in the dark. I wasn't guessing at all.
Oh, you looked into your little crystal ball, huh?
No, into the court records in Los Angeles. Mrs. Walters went to jail out there. Few years ago, and you were her lawyer.
Well, you are informed, aren't you?
Better than you think. When she came east, she changed her name, married John Walters, had 2 children, and then you followed her to blackmail her for every dime she could lay her hands on.
Your answers don't wait for questions, do they?
A little while ago, Mrs. Walters went broke, didn't she?
What makes you think so?
It had to be like that. You murdered John Walters to get the $50,000 for which he was insured. Because you knew you could get every penny of it from Mrs. Walters.
I don't think you can prove that.
You must think so, or you wouldn't be holding that gun at me.
Just a precaution.
Well, I'll tell you why I can prove you killed John Walters, if you'd like to know. The clue is in the insurance policy. And you're the only one of 3 suspects who didn't see the policy.
Oh?
If you had read the policy, you wouldn't have made it look like suicide. After all, you... did want Mrs. Walters to collect.
Well, you're a very clever young man. It's too bad I missed when I shot at you this afternoon. But it isn't too late.
Put away that gun, Jenkins. Cops will be here in a few minutes.
I won't kill you here. We're leaving. Take my car for a drive in the country.
You dumped Walters in the park, and you're going to dump me out in the country. Murder seems to bring out the rural in you.
I'll just search you for your gun, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I have no gun. Let's go, Blackie. Right out that door, the way you came in.
Okay.
Just remember, this hand in my coat pocket has a gun in it.
I wouldn't have to give it a second thought if I had my gun with me.
Here's your gun, boss.
What? Well, Shorty.
Yep. Here's your gun, boss. Stick it in this guy's back.
That was a wonderful dinner, Blackie.
I like a little food with my conversation.
But, Blackie, I had a lot of questions to ask you.
Have you run out of them yet?
Nope. Just one more.
All right.
Where shall we walk? Oh, it's a beautiful night.
Well, here's the park. What about through here?
Oh, Blackie, do you think we should? Isn't this the path you and Shorty were on when you found that body? Remember all the trouble that caused you.
Honey, any time I walk through a park with Shorty when you're available, I deserve to have trouble.
Boston Blackie, on Tuned to Yesterday from the Mutual Network, heard on May 2nd, 1945. You're listening to An Hour of Mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for an episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, with one of the many actors to play the leading role, John Lund. In 1953, the year of this broadcast, he was heard exclusively as Dollar on CBS, except about a month before the episode we'll hear, he was featured on the Lux Radio Theater in an adaptation of the drama musical Lady in the Dark alongside Judy Garland. This next episode, called The Lester James Matter, from March 31st, 1953, on CBS.
For your listening enjoyment, John Lund as... Johnny Dollar.
Ned Talbot, Johnny. What are you working on?
Why, nothing at the moment. I was thinking of going to New York for a couple of days. Why?
Well, I have one here on my desk you might be able to do something with while you're there.
Well, tell me about it.
Corinthian covers a textile outfit in New York, Wallace Cottons and Company. This week their auditors found a shortage in the books.
How much of a shortage?
Well, it's nearly 5,000. Wait, I got it right here. $4,185.
And I'm supposed to find out who took it?
Oh, no, we already know who did that. One of the bookkeepers in their office, Lester James. He's been arrested and admitted everything. I thought maybe you could find out what he did with all that money.
Well, I'm going to New York anyway. I'll see what I can do. Account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Continental Adjustment Bureau, 418 Elizabeth Avenue, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Lester James matter. Expense account item one, $32.56. Train fare and incidentals between Hartford and New York City. After receiving from Ned Talbot the necessary information concerning the indemnity claim of Wallace Cottons and Company, Incorporated. I arrived in New York at 1:30 in the afternoon and checked in at the New Westin. Central Division told me that Lester James was being held in the 17th Precinct Jail. I went right over.
Well, here you are, darling. Now what?
Take it easy, James. This is Johnny Dollar. He wants to talk to you.
Hello, James.
Hi. I'll see you later, Dollar, huh?
Yeah, thanks, Sergeant.
You'll give me a yell when you finish, huh?
Right.
Well, what are you, lawyer or something?
Nope.
I don't want a lawyer. I said somebody be around to talk to me again, but I don't want to see anybody.
Why not?
I just don't want to see anybody, that's all.
Well, you'll have to be represented by counsel when you go into court.
All right, let somebody represent me. Just a technicality anyhow. I know what'll happen in court. I've got my confession. Who are you, anyway?
I'm an insurance investigator.
Well, what are you doing here? It's a swell day outside.
I'm trying to find out what you did with that $4,185 that you took from Wallace Cottons.
That?
Yeah, that. How about it, James?
Isn't it enough that I'm in jail?
It's enough for the police, but not for my insurance company.
I don't have anything to say to you.
Now, look, don't be foolish. A whole or a partial recovery will have a lot to do with what happens to you in court.
I don't want to be foolish. It's Just that I spent it all, every dime of it. No way to pay it back.
Spend it on what?
Doesn't make any difference.
Might make a lot of difference.
I don't have anything to tell you.
You've never been in trouble before, have you?
No.
They think of things like that when a man comes up for sentencing. Now, this is your first offense.
I know.
You trying to shield somebody, James?
Why don't you go away?
You been trying the market? Did you gamble with it?
No, just leave me alone. I won't tell you anything, Mr. Dollar.
If you bought something with it or gave it to somebody, if it can be recovered in some...
No, I tell you, go away, leave me alone.
I'd like to, but you're a thief, James. And you're going to get what's coming to you. I can't leave you alone.
Listen.
Now, you listen to me. If I don't get the information I want from you, I'll get it elsewhere. I'm going to be real honest with you. Corinthian Liability wrote a blanket policy on Walls, Cottons, and Company, promising to pay them in full for every loss caused by fire or theft on their premises. Now, no insurance company takes the word of some guy sitting in a jail cell where there's cash to be recovered. It's the same as stolen property. If you gave it to someone or spent it when it wasn't yours, it's still redeemable. Now, what do you have to say?
Look, Mr. Dollar, this won't do you any good. I'm no low forehead job who got caught crawling in a drugstore window. I'm a college graduate. I've been in the business world for 10 years or better. I know what I want to tell you and what I want to keep to myself. And I don't want to talk about this, do you understand? And there's no way or no person who can make me talk about it. I took the money, I admitted that. I did a bad job of it, I was caught, I've confessed, and you've got me. And that's the whole story.
Okay. Have it your way, Lester.
Go away. Just go away, please.
Lester James was a tall, dark-complexioned man in his early 30s. His hair was black, straight, and closely cropped. His features regular. Not good, not bad. Kind of man you see every day on the street. Somehow, the kind of man I hadn't expected to meet. Expense account item 2, $1.35, cab fare. I went over to the apartment on 59th Street where Lester James had lived. According to the penciled note above the first door to the right of the entrance, Mrs. Anastasia Denovich was the manager.
Yes, what is, please?
You're Mrs. Denovich?
Yes, what do you want, mister?
I understand that Mr. Lester James lived here. Is that right?
Oh, yes. Bad. Bad. I hear he steals money, and that's bad.
Yeah. I'm from the insurance company, Mrs. Denovich. We're trying to recover some of that money if we can. Wonder if you could help me.
I fix dinner now for my son. He's come home from work. What I do?
Well, I want to know about Lester James.
What is?
The works, Mrs. Denovich. Did he drink? Gamble? Did he stay in nights or go out? Did he pay his rent?
You're a policeman?
Insurance investigator.
Oh, please. Sometime else.
Okay, it's important now.
I talked to Lester on phone. He said I don't have to answer any question.
Well, you don't have to, but I'd appreciate it if you would.
My son home soon. All right, mister. I know these things. You ask about men who live here.
Well, look, how about his friends? Who visited them?
No. I cannot say. No visitor.
Oh, is he a good tenant?
No trouble. Like Mr. O'Sullivan on third floor. Always drunk. Fine.
Did you ever meet his girl?
Girl?
Well, sure, his girl. He has a girlfriend.
No, I never see girlfriend.
How long have you known him?
5-6 years, maybe, ever since he moved in here, this place.
You know how he spent his time?
Work. He worked hard.
No, I mean besides working at the textile company. How else?
No. He poor fella, that one.
How's that?
He steal money, true, but he poor fella, just same. For him, I feel.
Yeah.
Lester, he quiet and he think. I know he live up in that little room quiet. Think he does all the time, he think. Oh, my son's dinner, please. You go now.
Just a minute. I'd like to see his apartment if I can.
No matter. You bring key back, please.
Thank you, Mrs. Denovich. The apartment Lester James had lived in was as dismal as the neighborhood. A tiny closet kitchen, a bed that came out of the wall, and a pair of grimy windows that looked across the court into another pair of equally grimy windows. The furniture was early 30s and threadbare. Among his personal effects, I found nothing of value. The apartment yielded no more information than James had. Expense account item 3, $1.95, dinner. I had it in a neighborhood restaurant called the 59er, a place where, I learned, Lester James had frequently eaten. The restaurant manager remembered him and liked him. A woman who ran a bakery shop across the street told me how he'd come back from the war in 1946 and had worn his uniform for a month until he got a job and could buy some civilian clothes. All in all, I was getting a composite picture of Lester James that didn't look quite right. Whatever he was to the people who knew him casually, he wasn't a man who ever had any money to spend.
Well, hiya.
Hi.
No good, huh? Well, that's where it goes. We had some action here today, no?
Oh?
Sit down. James' preliminary hearing was this afternoon. A man from the district attorney's office took about 15 minutes to lay out the evidence against James.
Uh-huh.
And the public defender took about 3 minutes trying to get James to answer one question. What did he do with the money?
Did I miss anything?
No, not a thing. Wouldn't open up at all. Just said that he'd spent it.
Well?
Public defender about threw up his hands.
I'm about ready to throw up mine. When is the trial set for?
Sometime next week.
I'd like to talk to him again. He been moved yet?
Didn't go to the sheriff's office.
Somebody bail him?
He bailed himself. $200 he had in war bond.
Has he left yet?
No. We'll get out till about 6. That's when the shift changes. Are you still want to see him?
Yeah, I'll wait. An hour later, when Lester James emerged from the doorway and turned right, I followed him, about a half a block behind. When he caught a cab and headed uptown, I caught one, stayed right with him. When he got out at the Empress Theater and walked around to the stage door, I was standing at the alley entrance. 10 minutes later, he came out and hailed a cab. Once more, I followed. This time, he went back to his apartment on 59th Street. I waited 15 minutes before I went in. James? James, it's me, Johnny Dollar. I got a couple of whiffs of it standing there in front of the door. Room was acrid, stinging with gas fumes, and Lester James was stretched out on the floor of his 6-foot kitchen. When I picked him up and carried him out, I didn't know whether he was alive or dead.
And now, with our star, John Lund, we bring you the second act of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
Seconds after I found Lester James, I'd called a police ambulance, and in a matter of minutes, an intern was working over him with a pull motor. There was no telling how much gas he'd breathed in or for how long a time the jet had been open.
Hand me that. Thanks. Swab. Okay.
You alive?
Maybe. Hard to say on these. That shot should cause some reaction.
Oh?
This your place?
No, it's his.
You know him?
His name is Lester James. I met him earlier today.
Can you give me that? We might be getting something here.
What, this thing?
Yeah. He'll be sick if... Oh.
What?
He's catching on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let's have a little more. Getting some pulse. Respiration, too.
Will he make it?
Well, it depends. If he had a heart condition, it'll be tough. There's nothing more we can do here. Let's move him.
Where'll he be?
48th Street Emergency. Why?
Well, I'd like to talk to him when he comes around.
Better phone in first.
Oh, sure.
Well, that's the third one tonight. What is it, the weather?
Not for him.
You know why?
He's out on bail. Goes to trial on an embezzling charge pretty soon.
Oh. Well, I'll be sure and call in.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The investigating officers questioned me regarding the circumstances of Lester James' attempted suicide. I told them what had happened and gave them my business address for reference. After that, I went back to my hotel and had dinner. Then I went over to the Empress Theater.
I didn't quite get that, mister.
A dollar.
Oh, Mr. Dollar, what can I do for you, sir?
Between 6:30 and 7 o'clock tonight, a man came here to the stage entrance and talked to you.
A lot of people talk to me here. What man?
His name was Lester James.
No, I don't remember no Lester James.
Maybe he didn't give you his name.
You come here to see somebody? Is that it?
He might have, I don't know. He's about 5'11", weighs 175 or 80. Didn't have any hat on, raincoat, dark man. You remember him?
Oh, yes, of course. Him, yes.
You remember him?
Oh, sure, yeah. He's been around a lot of times. Lester Joe. I didn't even recognize that name at first.
Would you mind telling me what he was doing here?
Well, he comes here to see Margie Cook.
That his girlfriend?
Oh, no, don't think so. She never sees him when he asks.
Who's Margie Cook?
She sings here.
You ever seen them together?
Well, don't know. I've never seen them together.
Is she still here?
What's that?
I'd like to talk to her. Is she still here?
Oh, no, Margie left. She finishes in the second act.
Could you tell me where she lives?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I can't tell you that.
Well, where can I phone her?
Well, I just can't tell you that either.
Look, would you do me a favor?
Well, if I can, what is it?
Would you telephone her and tell her my business and ask her if she'd see me?
Well, I suppose I can do that, all right, Mr. Dollar. Take a chair right there. I'll just see what I can do for you.
Expense account item 4, $2.65, more cab fare. This time to the apartment of Margie Cook, singer. She met me at the door with cold cream on her face, wrapped in a chenille dressing gown. Miss Cook?
You must be Mr. Dollar. Come in, please.
Thank you.
I didn't quite understand Frank on the telephone.
Frank? Oh, the doorman at the theater. Yeah.
Yes. I didn't quite know what to make of it. Goodness, are you really an insurance detective?
Yeah, investigator.
Can I fix you a drink?
No, thanks.
You mentioned something about a man named Lester James, Mr. Dollar?
Yes. Do you know him?
Well, no, I don't.
There's a sort of a reservation in the way you say that, Miss Cook. You know his name?
Yes, I know the name. What's this all about?
Oh, just a routine investigation.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes.
I'm curious. How did you get my name? How am I connected with Lester James?
Well, that's what I want you to tell me.
Oh, first, about my name.
Well, James was at the theater tonight asking for you. I found that out from the doorman. And then I asked to speak to you.
Oh.
I understand James has been around there quite a bit.
I really don't know how to tell you this. I've only seen the man once in my life.
Is that so?
Honestly. He's really quite impossible. Oh, dear. This is very embarrassing to be asked about a thing like this by a complete stranger.
Well, maybe I can save you that embarrassment if you'll answer one question.
All right.
He ever give you any presents?
Yes.
What?
Well, that cigarette case there.
This one?
Mm-hmm. And the lighter to go with it.
Uh-huh. Tiffany's.
Pretty, aren't they?
And expensive. What else?
Well, let me think. Oh, that wasn't from him. Oh, that was.
What?
The lamp over there.
Uh-huh.
And a fur piece.
Could I see that?
I'm afraid I gave it away.
Oh,
I see. I gave it to my kid sister who was visiting me a couple of months ago.
What kind of fur piece was it?
Ermine. I think that's about it. Except for orchids that used to come every night. A dozen orchids every night.
He sent them to you?
Mm-hmm. For about 3 months.
You only saw him once, and he gave you all these gifts.
Oh, dear, I know how that must sound. Look, it started about 6 months ago, I guess. I got a card in my dressing room one night asking me to dinner. It was signed Lester James. Well, I'd never heard of anyone named Lester James, and I tore it up. But every night after that, I kept getting the card, and pretty soon flowers, and then the lighter and the cigarette case came. That's when I saw him. I didn't even dine with him, Mr. Dollar. We had one drink, and I told him I had a headache.
I see.
Gifts still kept coming, flowers, invitations, and I ignored them. I tried to send the things back, but I didn't know where to send them, so I gave away some, and some I've kept, and that's it.
Why didn't you see him after that one night?
Oh, he was... everything was so different than what I'd imagined. I mean, I've had my share of stage door Johnnies, but this man was... Well, he couldn't say a word without stumbling. He had no poise, no sophistication, nothing. All he had was money.
I see. Well, he didn't have money either, Miss Cook.
What?
He worked for $72 a week as a bookkeeper.
But all the gifts, the things he gave me, sent me, he had to have money.
He's been stealing it to buy those things for you.
For heaven's sake. Why, for heaven's sake. And that's why you're here. No wonder.
He tried to commit suicide a couple of hours ago.
Suicide? No. Oh, no.
I'm sorry I had to come to you to get this information. He wouldn't tell anybody what he'd done with the money.
Will he go to prison?
I'm afraid so.
Oh, but we had nothing. He was just a name to me.
Well, apparently, you were something more to him. I spent the next 2 days tracking down the places from which the gifts had been purchased and ascertaining their retail values. Totaled $2,780. I also learned from Margie Cook that Lester James had made appointments to meet her at various times at different expensive restaurants around town. She had never once kept any of these appointments. A check with the Waldorf, 21, the Stork, and several other places revealed that James had always made elaborate arrangements to entertain her. His restaurant bills, which were paid, came to $835. The florist bill, $680. Total, $4,295. Hello?
Hi.
Remember me?
Sure. Insurance man. What now?
How do you feel?
Okay. You saved me, didn't you?
I suppose so.
Why?
Well, for the same reason you'd save a man who was dying, James. You know what I've been doing?
What?
Answering the questions that you wouldn't answer. I met Margie Cook.
What?
My job, I had to.
Listen, you had no right to go to her. You had no right.
Look, it's the company's money you were spending on her. I had every right. Unpleasant as it may be.
And she knows all about me?
Yep. We took back all the things you gave her.
You dirty scum.
Look, don't get mad at me. Get mad at yourself. I didn't steal the money, you did.
Why didn't you leave it alone? What difference does the money make to you?
Nothing to me.
What do you want now?
Well, I didn't get all of it traced down. There's still $410 I'm worried about. Here. I've got this much.
Yeah.
Can you remember what you did with the rest of it?
Pretty thorough, aren't you?
I try to be. Well? Oh, come on, Lester. We've got most of it. What difference does it make now?
You and your money. That's all it is to you. Dollars and cents.
Dollars and cents that were stolen. Remember that. What did you do? See her on the stage one night?
No. She was in the office.
Office? Your office?
Yes. Some fashion convention about 6 months ago. She was modeling some of our fabrics for them. The publicity people brought her over. I never saw anyone like that before.
You figured a little money would attract her to you, huh?
I heard that's the best way to do it.
Well, it's one way, but it's not the best way, Lester.
Right. I pictured myself knocking on her door one night and saying, I'm a bookkeeper and I live on 59th Street. Why don't you come over and have a bottle of beer with me?
You know, she might have come.
What makes you think so?
I met her. Up until the time I talked with Lester James in the emergency hospital, I had my doubts about love at first sight. But after I talked to him, I was convinced that it could and did happen. To him. I was sorry that he didn't know quite how to handle it. I was also wondering if I'd been in his shoes, would I have done the same thing? Johnny Dollar.
Oh, I was afraid you might have left town.
Well, I'm just packing up.
Who's this?
Margie Cook. Remember me?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I haven't been able to sleep thinking about that man.
Lester James?
Yes. What'll happen to him?
He'll go to prison.
Even with all of the money returned?
Only half of that stuff's redeemable. Take at least, 2,500 more.
And then what?
Well, then it would be up to the court.
I want to pay it.
What?
I want to make it up, the whole thing.
Look, Miss Cook, I know your motives are the best, but you're not responsible in any way for this man's actions. He just
went... Dollar. He's the first man I've ever known who actually went out on a limb for the girl he loves. I'm the girl and he's the man.
Are you serious?
Poor Dumbbell. He doesn't belong in any prison. He ought to get married to some nice girl. I want to help him. Are you still there?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the matter?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all. Expense account item 5, $28, hotel. Item 6, $37, meals. Item 7, $15.15, miscellaneous. Item 8, same as 1, transportation back home. Total, $151.22. Remarks, James comes to trial next week in view of Margie Cook's paying back the money he stole. James just might get a suspended sentence. But, as always, that's up to the court. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, on Tuned 2 yesterday from March 31st, 1953, on CBS. And that closes this hour of mystery on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.